Mark Welch, Grain Marketing Specialist, Texas A&M College Station, hanging out on hold this morning for, looks like about, 15 minutes?
Yeah, something about like that, Todd. Good to be with you this morning.
So where are you at today?
Calling in from Kansas City.
I thought it wasn't College Station.
You just kind of tell, could you? Up here visiting family here for a couple of days. Just part of kind of a summer travel circuit going on the last several weeks and a few weeks ahead of us. Everything looks nice and green up in this part of the world. Good to be with you here today.
Well, it looks like hot weather across the Midwest. Triple-digit heat up in their area, but not much rain, so things are kind of sketchy for the corn crop up there.
Yeah, we're a couple of things have really driven the market. I think as we've had this last little run up higher, and we've talked about how toward around the 4th of July, the middle of July, if you look at the the seasonal tendencies of the December corn futures contract, is many times we'll get a period of trying to figure out which way this market's going to go. You get to the middle of July, and a lot of the Midwest corn crop, that sets the tone for the price of corn. We're in the silking and tasseling phase. It's that critical sensitivity to temperature and to heat. We've had pretty good moisture across most of the country for this year's corn crop, but what about the temperatures? And certainly have a threat of some heat developing that may limit some yield potential. How serious is that going to be? We've been talking about some areas that have been too wet, over a good part of the month of June. But now, what does that heat do? And then, of course, with the escalation of the war again with Iran and, energy prices starting to come into play again, it certainly sees some spillover effect into the grain markets and the oil seeds from that. Certainly give us this other next run-up, leg up of prices that's trying to figure out where this thing's going to go. But I do agree that much of it is driven by, and that previous story we were just listening to, it's a weather market are we going to hold that U.S. Yield prospect of 183 bushels per acre? Sounds like we've got a lot of acres out there. The acreage report kind of confirmed that. And so what's that yield potential going to be related to this crop? We hold at 183, that's a big corn crop. It's hard to see these prices holding above 450 a bushel if we hold that kind of yield number. But if we do see something off to taking on top of that, we're seeing how the market is concerned about corn supplies, anything that might threaten that yield of the U.S. crop.
We'll send some of that rain from San Antonio up to the Corn Belt because they got a big mess down there.
Yeah, we've been out of town when all that hit. I know that at our house there in College Station, we had 4 inches on one day, but ours is spread out a little bit more than that. But and, of course, it's a different terrain than when you get over just a little bit further west over in the hill country by the time you get to Austin and San Antonio and where those kind of rain amounts create some very serious problems very, very quickly. You hate to hear the damage and the threatening conditions that kind of rainfall does bring with it over there. They've been dry, for years over that part of the world. It's good to see them get the rain. They need it. There's some reservoirs in that part of the world that certainly need these kind of rain amounts. You've heard, I'm sure, about the water shortages down in the Corpus Christi area, and I'm not sure if this rain has refilled their reservoirs or not. Something I haven't checked as of yet. But we need the moisture, but certainly that's a part of the world that's very vulnerable to flash floods and the devastation that can bring.
Hanging out at 473 on December corn right now, so that's a far cry from what it was a few weeks ago. We were heading south a few weeks back.
South and heading south hard. If I don't have the chart right in front of me, but we're dipped back down around in the 430s just a little bit ago, and then now to see them running back over 470s, which is pretty significant price run right here in the middle of July. And it does indicate the vulnerability that we have of which way this price could go. And it's, again, I think some of the indicators to watch is just what you were pointing out, the weather forecast for heat that will build and then be persistent, that last, not for a day or two, but for, for a week or two. Watch for that in the forecast. The crop condition ratings that come out every Monday, I think, give us a very strong indication. Those are highly correlated to the final corn yield in the U.S. So, watch those numbers that come out. And at this point, if you look at what the crop condition index normally does as we go through the month of July, typically condition ratings get a little bit worse in response to, it normally does get hot in July. In the first part of August. And so it does start to deteriorate crop conditions a little bit. And we haven't seen that yet. Crop conditions have been holding very steady the last couple of weeks. They haven't dropped off at all. We're still keeping about 67-68% of the U.S. corn crop in good and excellent condition. And that's the kind of number that would support a trend line or average expectation of a yield here in 2026, and that number, just based on where we growth of yields year to year, that would point to a yield of 183, 184 bushels per acre. So at this point, the condition ratings certainly seem to support that kind of number and maybe a little bit better. So that's something that does give us some information that unfolds on a weekly basis, in addition to of course, weather forecast and what might be ahead of us. But how is the crop holding up under the conditions that we've seen so far? And at this point, the crop looks really, really good. Well, of course, in Central and South Texas, we're ready to cut. But there's some traveling over the 4th of July, and I didn't see any combines running. I saw one combine in the field ready to start cutting corn. But there's a lot of grain sorghum looks like it's ready. This rain is not going to help in terms of the yield potential there. It'll start maybe cause some quality problems, particularly in grain sorghum, if this wet conditions were to be get the hold very long, start to get the high moisture related to sprout damage and of course just weathering damage of grain sorghum. So you certainly want it to dry out and clear out so we can get the crop out. But crop yields, I think, through most of Central Texas along the coastal bend look really, really good this year. So it's nice. Still, they're getting this price, this bump in prices right as we're at harvest for those folks. So it's a nice combination for them. But we'll see how it holds, of course, around the rest of the country. But I think it's a weather market. Those can be fickle. I don't think it's something we want to not pay attention to. We have some, I think, some better pricing opportunities than I thought we were going to have here in the middle of July. Don't know where they're going to go, but what price works. And if the price, if we do price some grain and it keeps going up, man, that's okay. Because we've got some grain we can sell them on down the road. We're not done yet. If we sell all this year's crop, we can sell them next year's crop. We're seeing that the price strength related in the 27 crop, those contract offerings. Look very positive at this point. So we're certainly in a better pricing opportunity and some prospects that, as you just mentioned, that I didn't see this, coming just a few weeks ago, and something I don't think we need to be, I think we certainly need to be paying attention to of how this may work better than what we thought we were going to be able to get out of this market for 2026.
Just checking the weather in Kansas City, 74 degrees with some clouds and thunderstorms coming your way about 11 o'clock this morning, it says.
Right, and like I say, it has got a little bit dry, but it's not critical because crops look really good. They've had rain, could use a little bit more. It's time. Time it gets up in the 90s this part of the world, you got to keep that rain coming a little bit, keep this because crops do look really, really good. Soybeans and corn, if anything I've seen, the driving up and driving around, things look really good. One thing we didn't touch on yet this morning is the wheat market. And talk about a market that's surging. Just kind of, you can't say it's coming out of the blue, with war impacts coming out of Ukraine and Russia. They've been at war for 4.5 years, but I think we've kind of gotten maybe a little complacent in that it's amazing what Ukraine's been able to continue to produce and trade in the middle of a war. And, you know, wheat exports coming out of Russia have been going right on. Well, now with a significant escalation of shipping channels and routes, you know, even though we're not out in the Black Sea, you know, attacking ships at this point, any threat of shipments coming out of that world for wheat, we obviously see what the wheat market is doing in response to those escalating concerns. And we kind of forget, perhaps, or kind of gotten, again, a little blasé about, we'll make it work. You know, we're still talking about, you know, 30% of global wheat exports come from Ukraine and Russia. Russia, the number one wheat exporter in the world, and Ukraine, a significant exporter, even in the midst of a war. So that situation certainly, you know, causing significant concerns over, you know, what's happening in the wheat market. It's not about wheat supplies in terms of production, but it shows, again, the vulnerability of the world wheat market to any disruptions in trade. And this one, because of the war there with Ukraine and Russia, and certainly a significant concern of continuing to provide the global wheat exports that we need out of that critical production area.
Well, the wheat market, the leader at the Board of Trade yesterday. We'll see if it continues. We got the overnight trade up 8 to 9 cents on December, so might see some follow through again today.
Right, and again, it's like a weather market. They can create a tremendous amount of volatility and prices running up high very, very quickly. And if things settle down, if a forecast changes, you know, you can take that zest out of a market very, very quickly too. And for lots of reasons, you hope that the war situation in both with Iran and with Ukraine and with Russia, that you see some possibilities of peace for those people in that part of the world and for the rest of the world to see that situation de-escalate. But again, I think we just see that all it takes is a threat of a certain area at a certain time of a certain commodity. And it's a world market. It's a world community. We're all tied in this thing together. Whether it's crude oil prices or the price of wheat, we're all going to feed it. And this is a good example of that.
What's the old gas pump showing in Kansas City right now?
You know, as we were driving up, they had bumped back up quite a bit. I think we're just this again with the recent bringing the war back into the picture again. Seeing pretty common around here, 379. I think I filled up yesterday. I think that's what I had to pay. There at home we were back down at 314. And of course, many times gas can be a little more expensive up here, not always. But I saw some. I guess I saw $4 driving up, but it was up the upper threes was very, very common. Diesel prices, seeing those flash up in the upper fours again. I don't think I saw a five, but certainly see just in the last week, certainly prices a good bit higher. So, again, that's kind of what we saw up here in that 379 area for unleaded gasoline.
What about export numbers coming out today? What are we thinking?
Corn exports have been just really, really strong. Wheat, where of course a new crop year, it's kind of trying to get a momentum going there. USDA didn't raise exports like I thought they would for old crop corn, so maybe they think of course we're going to end the marketing year at the end of August for old crop corn. They raised some other use numbers in the July WASD, but they didn't bump the export number higher, which surprised me. So we'll see. But again, a strong pace continues there for corn. Looks very positive. They did increase exports for the next crop year, for the 26th corn crop. So still seeing really good numbers reported out of there. Grain sorghum, we need to get going there. We're kind of, I think, a challenge to reach the export target. Soybeans, of course, are still off with trade concerns with our biggest partner there with China. But corn has been kind of the leader of exports, and it's been a good number. And I think that adds a little bullishness to the corn picture, talking about the demand side. That's given us a pretty good, demand base as we're moving forward with corn, too, that is finding a home. And that's good to see.
Have a good time in Kansas City up there when you're heading back.
I'll get back just the next day or two. I'll be home this weekend. Got to take care of some things there back at the office and travel again next week. So it's nice taking a few days to run up here and check on things, and then we'll circle back around to what's next on the calendar.
All right, give out your contact there, Mark, and we'll yak again next week.
All right, look forward to that, and certainly love any comments or questions or concerns that you'd like to visit about. Love to keep this conversation going. You can reach me. Best way to do that, shoot an email to jmwelch@tamu.edu. Thank you much.